Good morning, Redemption. Pastor Scott's back with you live. Not really. I'm doing it live, but you're not live with me this morning. But we are going to jump into a series over the next who knows how many weeks. But we're calling the series Quarantined in the Psalms. Quarantined in the Psalms. And we're going to hopefully not be quarantined for more than 150 weeks. And so we have at least 150 sermons we can do with you. But we're hoping to be back as soon as possible, obviously praying for that. And one of the reasons we're going to do this series called Quarantined in the Psalms is because, as John Calvin says, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, is an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. What he means by that is the book of Psalms speaks to us as humans in all of our emotions and all the things we feel and all the things we experience. We can actually go to the book of Psalms and resonate with that. And I don't know how you resonate with what is happening in our day today. I am all over the map in my emotions. Some days I am like, yes, we are not going to see anyone ever again because we don't want to spread this or get it. And other days I think to myself, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so I just know in my own heart, my own mind, I am wrestling with what to do, how to feel, and how to live in this particular span or this way of life that God has for us at this time. And one of the things I've been doing is going back to the scriptures, back to the Psalms, and have found great encouragement. And so this morning, we just want to begin our series, Quarantine the Psalms, looking at the first two Psalms, Psalm chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 2. And even though these are two distinct psalms, I think that we should see them and view them together as a single song, a single collection that comes together that introduces the entire book of Psalms. And one of the ways we could see this is that the very beginning of Psalm chapter 1 talks about blessing and blessed is the man. And the last part of Psalm chapter 2 talks about blessing or blessed is the man. So it is bookended by the beginning and the end by this understanding of blessing and what it means to be blessed. And in reality, the rest of the book of Psalms are going to unpack for us the life of blessing. But in summary fashion, Psalm 1 and 2 come together as a unit and actually unpack the rest of the book of Psalms for us. And so I just want to look at Psalm chapter 1 and 2 this morning. And on your screen, we are going to have Psalm 1 and 2, and I am going to actually read that for us. It'll take a little bit of time, but want to get our minds wrapped around the words of God that he's recorded for us before we jump in and make some comments about it. So Psalm chapter 1, and I'm reading from the NIV, says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of wicked leads to destruction. So why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. But the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree, because he has said to me, you are my son, today I have become your father. Ask me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will be led to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. But Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. The Psalter in the book of Psalms is concerned to show the people of God what the blessed life actually looks like. The beginning of this psalm and the ending of Psalm 2 talk about what it means to be a man or a woman who experiences blessing. And I want to encourage you to take a moment. There's going to be a question on the screen for you. And the question is simply this, is what is a blessed life? How would you define a blessed life? And what I want you to do is just hit pause and actually interact with your family. And if you have friends over, interact with them and just define what you mean when we talk about the blessed life. And so just hit pause and we'll be back here in just a few moments. So I'm not sure how you define blessed. And if you're like me, there's this struggle between what I would call the sin side of me, the sinful nature, and the spiritual side of me, where there is actually this war going on of blessing. Because if we're not careful, we're going to tend to equate physical blessing as the means by which we experience the blessed life. And to be sure, every good and perfect gift does come down from God. And the food that we have is a blessing, and the cars that we have are a blessing. But surely, just because physical affluence is upon us, does not automatically mean, it does not equate that we are experiencing the blessed life. Because we see in the book of Psalms that even the wicked are ones who are succeeding and prospering. And we'll look in Psalm 73 in a couple weeks, where we see that these wicked people, the people of the world, are prospering. They have everything they seem to want, and yet they are not experiencing the blessed life. So clearly, something beyond physical, something beyond just getting things and having things is more than the blessed life. So what does blessing mean? Some people want to translate this word as happy, or happy is the person who blank as we come to the Beatitudes. And yet, oftentimes we might use the word happy in biblical ways and what I would call unbiblical ways. And so what I actually want to say is, rather than define this word as happy, I want to use the word rewarding. The rewarding life is blank. And the rewarding life that I want to see in Scripture is a life that can go beyond physical things. And a rewarding life can actually be had when there is struggle and trials. In fact, the blessed life does not mean the absence of struggle. It does not mean the absence of pain. In fact, the book of Psalms shows you all kinds of pain, all kinds of struggle that humans experience. But in the midst of that, the rewarding life can be found. The rewarding life can actually be held onto. You and I can have a rewarding life. One of the things that this quarantine has done in my family and in my own life, which probably is the same for you, is it has stripped away everything that we actually normally do as a family. So I don't know exactly what you normally do as a family, but one of the big things in my family are sports. And so to go home and to not watch sports for the last month has been absolutely crazy. Like, to not watch any soccer games has been very interesting. I don't even like to listen to sports radio right now because they're just talking about nonsense. There's not even things to talk about. Or when it comes to where you spend your money, the places that I would normally go and hang out and go eat and go drink and be here and do these things, like, you can't spend your money there. It's actually stripped away where you're spending your money. It's actually stripped away where you spend your time. And, you know, my family, you know, this is like, we do soccer, and with lots of kids playing sports and all these different activities, we're running here doing this. And all of the activities of our life have been stripped down to nothing. And one of the best things about the quarantine for me is, like, as we go into the future, however we get to go into the future, rather than just jump back into that way of life, I'm asking the question, what pieces of life will we add back into our life that will actually bring reward, that will actually bring a rewarding life? Now, in Psalm 1 and 2, obviously we're not going to dig into all the nooks and crannies of Psalm 1 and 2, but I want to just look at Psalm 1 and 2 and look at two ways that the psalmist says we can actually experience the rewarding life. The first way that we can experience rewarding life in Psalm chapter 1 is that we meditate on God's ways. This psalm from the Spirit of God says that those who meditate on God's ways, in God's purposes, in God's mission, will find a rewarding life. Those who meditate on the Word day and night, these are the people who experience a rewarding life. See, the opposite, the antithesis of this rewarding life is to actually walk in step with the wicked. It is to stand in the way that sinners take. It is to sit in the company of mockers or scoffers. See, these people who walk in step with the wicked, who stand in the way that sinners take, and here the idea is in both of these realities, walk in step with the wicked and stand in the way sinners take, is talking about the direction of your life and the way you want your life to go, the way that you see life going is filled with, if it's filled with wickedness and with sin, you actually rob yourself from the rewarding life. Or if you just sit around with people who are mocking and scoffing, and it is very easy to see these people in our day who are mocking and scoffing what is happening. And I often find myself in these seats, in these places. And what we need to do is come back and say, where is my mind? What way am I looking to find the rewarding life? And Psalm chapter 1 says, the blessed man is the man who meditates on God's laws, God's ways, not as a means of legalism, not as a means of just doing mere duty, but people who come to see that when we meditate on God's purposes in God's world and we live in accordance with those ways, there is freedom, there is joy, there is great reward. In fact, Jesus would call it the abundant life. And why? I think one of the primary ways we find this to be the case is because when we walk in God's ways, we walk in love with other people. We walk in love towards our family. We walk in love towards our neighbors. We walk in love towards our friends. We walk in love towards those who don't know Jesus. And the way of love, the way of walking in God's ways and learning to love each other is actually rewarding. I mean, I don't know how your household works, but we have had great, great struggle in our household with my kids being home. Now, I love my kids being home. I don't want to send them back to school ever. I love having my kids around me. But one of the hardest things with having my kids around me all day is trying to navigate a schedule, a life for them. And when I don't act in love towards them, I don't act in God's ways and God's purposes, there is friction. There is not a rewarding life. And yet when God reminds me to love my kids and to serve my kids, there is great reward. This is what the psalmist is talking about, is when you meditate on God's laws, when you meditate on God's ways, and this idea of meditation is interesting. The interesting concept of biblical meditation is far different than Eastern meditation. Eastern meditation is the idea of emptying your mind, getting the absence of thought. Whereas Christian meditation is the presence of thought. It is filling your mind with the ways of God. And so we meditate so that God's ways begin to color the way that we see the world. And we see the world through love, through the ways that God has ordered his world. So all of God's laws are a means to love one another, and there are means that when we love one another, there is a rewarding life. And meditating on them day and night is not mere duty. It's a matter of life and death. Meditating on God's word is not legalism. It's a matter of learning how to live in the order and the structure and the purposes of God's world. So if you live against the ways by which God has ordered the world, you will get splinters. You will rub against the wood the wrong way. This week, my dad and I are doing lots of work inside of our house, ripping up some floors and building some decks. And you won't be able to see this, and I'm not sticking my middle finger up at you, but I got cut and there is blood flowing all over the place. And if you know me, I just get weak-headed. I can't see blood. And I lived not in ways according to construction. And I got splinters and I got cut. And this is exactly what God is teaching us, that when we live according to his ways, there is this life of beauty and health and love, and it's rewarding. But the only way we can actually live that life is to have the mind of God and to have the purposes of God. And the way that we get those is through the Spirit and through his word, so that they begin to color us. So the first thing we saw that the rewarding life comes from is through the meditation on God's purposes and God's ways, so that we'll be this tree, this firmly planted thing, this being that has stability, that has beauty, that has love. But the second way in Psalm chapter 2 is we need to kiss the sun. The blessed life necessarily involves placing yourself under God's anointed. This psalm, in Psalm chapter 2 continues, demonstrates that God is going to establish his reign and his rule through his anointed. So there's this promise that one day God is going to actually bring his authority, his rule over all the powers, over all the rulers of this world, and he's going to bring that to creation. And yet, this psalm demonstrates that there are going to be enemies. There are going to be those people who oppose the rule and the reign of God. And so this psalm, Psalm chapter 2, takes us back to Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 2, it says, "The nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain." This is taking us back to the people who walk in the way of the wicked, and the people who scoff, and the people who stand in the way that sinners take. This is the picture, is that these people who live against God's purposes are the people who are rebelling and rejecting God's authority and God's rule. They want to break the chains and throw off the shackles. They want to actually say the way to experience the rewarding life is to do what I want. If you're honest with yourself, when you actually throw off the shackles of God's constraints and God's laws and you live according to your own ways, do you experience rewarding life? Do you experience blessing? Or do you find yourself to regularly get these splinters? And so there are people who continue to think that they can throw off the shackle of God's authorities and God's purposes and find and navigate their own way in the world for their own life and for their own reward. And so they laugh at God. They reject God and his ways. And what's ironic is in all of their attempts to reject God, to scoff at God, the irony is that God is actually laughing at them. The psalm says, "The one enthroned in heaven, the Father, who we would call in the Old Testament Yahweh, is enthroned. He is ruling over all heaven and over all earth, and he is laughing and scoffing at these people. He rebukes them in his anger, his wrath." And the way that God is actually mocking and scoffing these people is very interesting. If I was God and I wanted to, demonstrate my authority and to laugh at people, I mean, I could think of all kinds of cruel things that I would do. And yet the way that God is going to bring justice to the earth, the way that God is going to deal with the evil and the wicked and the scoffers in this world is through a person. In fact, Psalm chapter 2 says this emphatically in the Hebrew, "I have installed my king on my mountain, in my city." God is saying the way that he's going to bring justice to the world and deal with the evil and the people who are keeping the earth from experiencing the blessed life is through a person. God is going to install his anointed. This is the Old Testament word where we get the word Messiah. And this is talking about the king. In fact, God is going to have a very special relationship with this king. He's going to say, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." This is going back to God's promise, God's covenant with David, where God promised David that he would have an everlasting kingdom and an everlasting throne. And the implication is that there's going to be a king who comes and rules on this throne eternally. And that king is God's anointed. And David became a picture of that king. And yet every other king, every other anointed who was anointed king over Israel failed to actually execute this justice in the world because they began thinking they had their own way. They had their means of experiencing the blessed life. They went against God's purposes and God's ways. And yet this anointed one is going to lead God's people in victory, in a war. It says, "He will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." This king is going to lead God's people out into and against the forces of evil. And what we have come to see, if you haven't put the pieces together yet, is that in the New Testament, over and over and over again, Jesus is God's anointed son. He is the one who has the unique, special relationship, who is going to lead God's people against the forces of evil. Because behind the powers of this country and behind the powers of this world stand evil forces. And Jesus, in his first coming, has come and dashed those evil forces to pieces. He has dashed them with a rod of iron. Satan's house has been plundered. He has been conquered. And one day, God is going to come back in the person of Jesus and establish his final rule and deal with all the earthly powers. And so God tells us in his word that you better kiss this anointed. You better come and submit to this son. The blessed life is in submitting and taking refuge in the right person. See, we're all trying to find refuge. We're all trying to find peace, especially in this day. You are running somewhere or to something for refuge. And I pray, we pray, that you would experience the blessed life by actually running and finding refuge in God's ways and God's laws and God's purposes. And so as you meditate on God's word, if it doesn't lead to submission and kissing the beauty of the Son of God, you're doing it wrong. The whole point of Psalm 1 and 2 as an introduction to the Psalms is this, is that we will meditate on God's word. And God's word leads us to submitting to the beauty and the wonder of King Jesus. And that is the blessed life. That is the rewarding life. The life of blessing is found in meditating on God's word, which necessarily leads to putting our refuge in Jesus. Where's your refuge? What are you looking to for the blessed life? We're praying that in this time of quarantine, in this time of being stripped back of all the things that we normally put our refuge in our life in, we can actually come back and analyze where is the blessed life? And we're praying the Spirit of God would allow us to meditate on his ways and his laws and his word so that you and I could then actually come and kiss the Son. Kiss the wonder that Jesus came to break all the shackles so that you and I could break the power and bondage of sin and experience freedom. Or as Psalm 1 and 2 says, the blessed life. So I hope that's encouragement to you. We love you guys. We're looking forward to being back together. But in the meantime, we want to encourage you to keep connecting Keep Zooming, keep FaceTiming, keep Google Hangouting, whatever you're doing. Keep contact with people. And I want to say this too, that Pastor Nate and I and Pastor Josh, if there are requests that you have, please contact us. We would love to pray with you, pray for you. And so one of the things we are committing ourselves to is praying for you during this time. And so if there are certain areas that you need prayer for, please reach out to us. Please email me. If you don't have my number, someone that you know does, just reach out. We'd love to be able to take some time and pray for you. So we love you and looking forward to hanging out and being together soon. Lord bless you.